Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, it's Thanksgiving Eve, of course. Still got some time to get all the fixings ready for the holiday table tomorrow. But this year, some Americans are adopting a turkey instead of eating one.
What? Now, this was from last Wednesday. But John and I were talking about, we're like, we've done so much serious stuff. We need something that's a little bit lighter here a minute. We've been talking about the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza stuff in depth last hour, and then the Venezuelan drug boat strikes in depth last hour. And we need something that's a little bit lighter fare, so to speak, you know?
Yes, sir.
So here we are talking turkey.
As families across the country prepare for Thanksgiving, more animal lovers are calling foul on the turkey tradition.
Oh, so handsome.
An increasing number of nonprofits from California to Michigan to Massachusetts say they're taking turkey off the table, letting families adopt a turkey instead. Many viewing it as a protest against what they claim are inhumane conditions on so-called factory farms.
What in the nonsense is this? Are you... What? We are doing turkey adoption so the turkeys don't become dinner. It's.
Do we actually get to keep them?
No. Oh. They go to some, they go to a different farm.
Ooh.
Out in the country. Not that one. Not the one where the old dogs go, but they go to. They go to a different one, okay? I mean, maybe they eventually go to the other one. I don't know.
Every year around Thanksgiving, we really highlight our turkey residents that you can sponsor. They are capable of creating those bonds of friendship with human beings, with each other, with other species. And I think it's important that we recognize that.
Turkey residents?
And that you can bond with them?
Oh, Andrew, don't you understand how smart turkeys were? Don't you know that Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be the, the American symbol? And that's true. Okay, that's true. Yeah, but.
I'd like to.
I'm trying to imagine, you go over to grandma's or mom's. I guess I'm getting to that stage of life where I also think about you're going over to your kids for Thanksgiving. And you're getting ready for this nice meal, green bean casserole, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, corn, biscuits, pie, gravy, all the things, deviled eggs, turkey.
Brisket.
Not brisket. Come on. But then out comes whoever's doing the carving. And they come out with the big old platter of bird. And instead of a bird, it has a big old sign on it that says, "This year we rescued the turkey on your behalf."
Oh,
is McDonald's open?
Those would be fighting words.
Oh my God. It kind of reminds me of the, it's not quite the Jelly of the Month Club, but it's like when, somebody says, "In your name, I named a star." Or "In your name, instead of giving you a gift for Christmas, I bought a share of a cow for a family in Nigeria." Which are, you can't really say those are bad things, but I want mine.
I know, right?
I'm hungry. And just the carbs is not going to do it for me.
This sanctuary in Colorado, you can save a turkey from the butcher block for $25. The donation even provides a holiday feast for your new feathered friend. Some farms are giving the turkeys holiday favorites, like butternut squash and pumpkin pie.
So now I'm paying to
they
feed the turkey?
Better than
the
we
turkey's
do.
Eating better than we are.
Yes.
The adoptions are a name only, so no need to start building a backyard coop. Rescuers say the donations go toward the turkey's well-being on the farm. They'll even provide a photo of your new turkey pal for the Thanksgiving table in place of the traditional main course.
This is starting to sound like World Vision for turkeys.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Here's the photo of the child you're sponsoring.
These children in the Honduras are needing your help. And for just $30 a month, or in this case, one time, $25, you can rescue a turkey and send them to the turkey farm. Hint, hint, we'll keep our word.
Yeah. For sure.
Here's the turkey. Well, what's the date? Does the turkey come with newspaper proof of life every month? Because I feel like all this is doing is delaying the inevitable. None of these people sound like they're so committed that probably they wouldn't you know, be engaged in aftermarket turkey deals, but you got it. Kind of feels like this feels like a scam to me. You know, if enough people do this, do they have space to really take care of all these turkeys?
That's right.
And, you know, would they not at some point become a, well, I don't know, you know, Fred's been here for 5 years. Maybe it's time for Fred to feed somebody. I mean, you know, actually, I don't know what the lifespan of the turkey is, but
I have no idea.
Turkeys, just like cats and dogs and other animals, have feelings, and we think they should be treated with kindness.
I think they should be treated with a side dish of gravy.
Yeah, stuffing. I was thinking mashed potatoes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It's the eternal animal rights activist people who, look, to my mind, okay, the conservative view on animal rights is this. Animals do not have rights, but we still have obligations to treat them well. And the mistreatment of animals, the abuse of them, the, you know, overcrowding of them, the, you know, infliction of various forms of suffering on them is incompatible with the view that God made the whole creation and we're supposed to be good stewards of it. But, you know, at least post-flood, you know, when God specifically authorized the eating of animals, part of good stewardship is good dinner. And, you know, that's fine. You can like them and think they're tasty at the same time. And I believe in both. And for Thanksgiving, you best be feeding me my turkey, or I'll be feeding you the turkey I bought. Don't buy me a rescue in place of it. 7:15 here on News Radio 92.3. What's that?
This is Bob.
That's why, honestly, I think it's kind of a charming and queer tradition, the whole, like, pardon the turkey thing they do at the White House, because I always think, you know, what if the other turkeys are watching this on TV?
Exactly.
You know, and if they're, gobble, gobble. Oh, they're letting Bernard get pardoned this year, or Peaches, or, you know, whatever. What about us? Well, I guess the president doesn't care to make a PR showing about our suffering. You know, we're just going to become Din Din. You know?
What about me?
Where's justice for your gobbler? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. If you're on 87 northbound, just north of Allentown, there's a wreck there that's blocking the northbound way. They're actually turning people around. So you definitely want to take an alternate route. And let's see here, I-10, I-110, they all look good this morning. Minor slowdowns on Highway 29 as you approach 9 Mile Road. Expect about a 9-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Say it with me now. Justice for Bernard. Justice for Bernard. Justice for Bernard.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
At different times in our lives, we all have problems. Health problems, financial problems, relationship problems. But at no point are any of these problems our biggest problem. The biggest problem facing mankind is the sin problem. When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't solve everyone's health troubles, although he did help a few. He didn't solve everyone's financial trouble, although he did provide food for some. He didn't solve everyone's relationship problems, although a few were helped in that way. But when Jesus came to the earth, he did solve the problem of sin for everyone. He died a substitutionary death in your place and in mine. All we have to do is call upon him for salvation. Jesus is the greatest problem solver in human history.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Shop waterfront thrift stores for all your seasonal needs. Whether you're looking to decorate your home for the holidays or searching for great gift ideas, we've got bargains that'll fit your budget. Plus, your purchases help make meaningful change in our community. Waterfront Thrift, where department store taste meets thrift prices. Visit one of our 7 waterfront thrift locations today or shop at waterfrontonline.org. This holiday season, give the gift of thrift.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm gonna rip the eyes out of your head and puke into your dead skull. You messed with the wrong Marine.
I can't stop thinking about the sand in my feet. I got a heartache cause cold ain't for me. I wish my worries would wash into the sea. Cause it's far too cold, darling, cold ain't for me.
I don't know why, man, but I just love that song. It's by a band called Oceans, and I think of that as a Pensacola song. You know, cold ain't for me, and put my feet in the sand. Like, it's, I love that song and just the sound of it. A little bit of a mismatch with Colonel Jessup, but, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
But
whatever. You messed with the wrong Marine! Oh, I think I might have hurt myself there. 7:20 on News. Yeah, and then into the peaceful, tranquil beach tones. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Accused killer Luigi Mangione is back in a New York courtroom today. His defense team is trying to get some evidence thrown out. Mangione's charged with killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Manhattan outside of a hotel last December. During a hearing yesterday, prosecutors played the 911 call that eventually led police to arrest Mangione at a McDonald's in Pennsylvania. If you're going to be traveling, heads up next year. If you still don't have a real ID, although probably everybody does by now, but if you don't, you'll have to pay a $45 fee to get through TSA. The agency says that new charge will kick in on February 1st. And in college football.
By the way, I was surprised. I guess there are some states where their state licenses are not real ID compliant yet, which I thought they all were. But apparently not.
I still know some people in Iowa that have not transitioned over yet.
Well, it's one thing if like you haven't done, if you haven't gone to get the real ID compliant one that your state offers. But my understanding is some states don't even have it, which I think is bizarre. I thought they all
had to
have
it. Don't even offer it?
I don't know.
Wow.
I was talking to somebody the other day who said, yeah, you know, I know. Okay, so I don't know how you fly without it, you know, unless you take a passport or something. But even there, anyway, go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. Well, the second-to-last college football playoff rankings are going to be released tonight. There's some movement expected after number three Texas A&M was knocked off by 16th-ranked Texas. The top four teams.
Yeah, they looked bad in that game, too. Yeah, they did. I mean, Texas looked great, and Texas A&M did not look great.
And that's all I've got for right now. Those
okay,
are my
so,
three stories.
You had a conversation. You were in the military. You were stationed in Iraq. You were in the Army. And you were sort of what people might think of as EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal. But we were kind of talking about the Venezuelan drug boat thing, and you had not the same kind of thing, but you had a, you know, similar sort of do I, don't I shoot kinds of situations, right? I think it's really interesting people hear that they could hear from you about
that. Yeah, listening to that whole conversation really made me think back a lot. You know, like I spent a big portion of my deployment. I was either a driver or I was sometimes I was the tail gunner in our convoys.
Okay.
And we were doing route clearance. So we were, you know, just driving, you know, 10, 12, 15 hour missions, whatever it took. And as the tail gunner, when I was in the rear of the convoy, there was, you know, your job is you got to keep, because of the possibility of vehicle IEDs, V-beds, mm-hmm. or whatever you call them. And, you know, so you got to keep vehicles far away from the, you know, approaching your convoy. And, boy, it really made me think back because I remember being so nervous every time a vehicle would come flying up on us. And, you know, thinking about it, it's like, well, we're in their country and it's, who knows, a family going to wherever, you know, and all that type of stuff. But it's my job to stop them from approaching. And I just was so scared every time because it's like you have to do your job, but at the same time, and it was a little bit different because, you know, on the Venezuelan boat, you're talking about specific orders given, you
right,
know,
right.
Shoot
not
this.
A general rules of engagement.
And,
right.
And this was kind of more of a general rules of engagement kind of thing, but it's just so nerve wracking when you're on that end and you're mm-hmm. maybe lower enlisted or I don't really know who would have been operating specifically that, you know, whether it would have been lower enlisted or somebody
right.
higher up or whatever. But it's just so nerve-wracking when you know you have a job that you have to do. And if you don't do that, it can ruin your career.
Well, if somebody's a threat and you fail to fire on them, I mean, you guys could all die.
Absolutely.
And if you do fire on them, and it's not a justified shoot, I mean, you get court-martialed, you get imprisoned.
It can be a no-win situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever, I mean, feel free not to answer if you don't want to, but did you ever actually have to fire on any vehicles coming up from behind you like that?
I didn't have to. I got very close a few times.
Yeah.
And I still remember how nerve-wracking that was. You know, I had the 50 cal trained and the laser pointing and, you know, the spotlight going, and it's, please stop. Just please don't make me do it.
And they did. They pulled away or pulled off
or
something.
Yeah, they stopped eventually. But,
yeah. And the reason I wanted you to tell that story is because sailors and soldiers and airmen, you know, they deal with that all the time. Whenever they're in actual combat zones, they deal with that all the time. And that's, frankly, that's part of what makes us, you know, the better, is the fact that we don't just kill everybody who gets in our way. We don't just, you know, well, you might be a threat, we're going to destroy you. That's, you know, there are rules, there are limits, there is restraint, there's lawful and unlawful actions. But it's not easy when you're the person on the trigger. It's very hard to figure out sometimes. So, man, I really appreciate not just your service, but I appreciate you sharing that. I know a lot of people, you know, obviously we have a lot of retirees in this area, a lot of veterans in this area, and I'm sure a lot of them are like, yeah, buddy, been there. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Gulf Breeze Natural Gas, serving Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. Your holiday style, your holiday comfort, your energy. GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com. Still dealing with the accident that happened just north of Allentown on 87 as you're going northbound. They still have that road blocked off, so just be prepared for that. And let's see here. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, starting to see some delays. And also Highway 29 southbound. Let's see here if the computer will work. Looks like south of Kingsfield Road, we're seeing some major delays. Expect about a 12-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are 64 turning 65, or you are retiring, or you just have questions related to health insurance under Medicare, Ricky Stewart, she's a dear friend. I've known her the whole time we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance, and this is the one slice of it that she does now. She helps people get converted over onto Medicare, but she's there for you not just during open enrollment, but all year round. You can ask her your questions, and, you know, feel free to just call and ask. Hey, Andrew says you can explain this. It's confusing to me. I'm a little apprehensive about this big change. I don't understand, you know, Advantage and supplement and prescription drugs and Medicaid. What is the difference between Medicaid and Medicare? All of these things are confusing to me. And she's like, no problem. We'll sit down and talk about it, and she'll answer all your questions. So many other listeners have already called her and talked with her. She does it all the time. Talk to some more people, Andrew. Thank you so much for promoting me. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance, or look her up online at insuredbyricky.com. What else do we have going on? Oh, I saw this story, and I thought, I don't know if we're going to come back to this as a frivolous topic, but it just, I thought, was one of the most fascinating stories, because I really don't know what I think about it. I love stories where I'm not sure. I mean, I love stories where I'm sure, you know, it's comforting, but I love stories where I'm not sure. And, okay, John, what's my general disposition towards AI?
You don't like it.
No, it's not strong enough.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh,
I'm
I was trying to be generous.
I'm really, really opposed, okay? Partially all the movies I was raised on, but partially, you know, the dehumanizing, you know, it's scary to me, the idea that something not human would be able to so effectively imitate humanity. Headline, can AI pick the perfect gift? Here's what experts say. Using AI to pick Christmas gifts and birthday gifts for people. Now, think about it. How many times have you gone to buy somebody a gift and been stymied because they already have it, or you just don't know, right? What's the smart thing to get them? Or what might be out there, because there's a lot of stuff out there that you wouldn't know about. Well, let AI do the work for you. Dear AI, I have a friend. Her Facebook account is this. Her Instagram account is this.
Please look over and tell me.
Would you survey Becky's profiles and then suggest to me three gifts within the price range of $50 to $80 that you think she might really appreciate. And then you could be the final one to be like, order or don't order. Look, I'm terrified to try this. But
dude, I want to try it now.
I can really see how this could be you know, think about it this way. How many people, you don't have to raise a hand. Okay, raise your hand if, how many of you know somebody who's bad at giving gifts? How many of you would like it if they might try the AI system?
Yes, yes, brother. I have my hand raised, and I know a lot of people do.
You know, because this is the kind of thing you could casually work into a conversation,
you
right?
You could.
Like, oh, hey, you know, Ted, did you hear the thing about AI lately? No, what's that? No, AI is actually helping people buy Christmas gifts for other people. You know,
really? How's that?
Well, here's what I did. I tried it with my other friend. So, you know, you don't do it like, hey, you need to do this for me. You just kind of casually smuggle it into the conversation like, hey, there's this cool thing, you know? Does that seem, what do you think about that? No, that's stupid. I wouldn't do that. All right, I'm screwed again this year. You know, like, but you could.
I got to think.
So I'm against it. I'm against it. But I can see why it might be useful for some people. Now, this presupposes that the AI is going to get a good sense of who you are. And if my Facebook feed is any sense of what the AI thinks about me, I mean, this is a hopeless endeavor. The AI is buying me exercise equipment because my son on the same IP address looks up that stuff and I'm like, the AI is going to completely misidentify my needs. Plus, it doesn't know what I already have, right?
I'm CJ Papa. President Trump holds his ninth cabinet meeting later this morning. Military strikes on alleged drug boats in the Caribbean expected to be discussed. Fox's Mark Meredith has more on a New York Times story refuting a Washington Post story claiming Secretary of War Pete Hegseth ordered a second strike on a boat in September.
Hegseth's directive did not specifically address what should happen if a first missile turned out not to fully accomplish all of those things, and the official said his order was not a response to surveillance footage showing that at least two people on the boat survived the first blast.
Some polls are now open in Tennessee. Others open shortly for the House race between Republican Matt Van Epps and Progressive Democrat Afton Ben.
We feel great. We're up in early voting.
Van Epps earlier on Fox and Friends, the winner captured the seat of Congressman Mark Green, who resigned in June. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got 62 degrees, cloudy skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says he will not be making the decision on whether charges are pursued against local homeless advocate Michael Kimbrough.
I can't speak to, I'm not the state attorney or the police department. That's certainly not something I can speak to or have the authority to say is or isn't going to happen at this point. I'd have to defer you to either PPD or the state attorney's
office. That's from a press conference held yesterday afternoon. Mayor Reeves said the organization had a bit of a handshake agreement with the city dating back about 14 years, but now in order to remove ambiguity on both sides, they're going to need to get a proper city permit if they want to continue using the park. PPD said police officers had no intention of arresting anybody when they went to the MLK Jr. Plaza on last Friday. But Kimbrough was ultimately taken into custody after refusing to identify himself. PPD has since offered the use of their parking lot for those weekly homeless feedings until the organization is able to obtain the proper city permit. Gulf Breeze is considering a first-of-its-kind safety measure for its schools. Police Chief Rick Hawthorne wants the city council to allow community donations to fund a dog that would be trained to detect guns on the school campus. The estimated cost would be between $16,000 and $18,000. Chief Hawthorne said even one threat is too many. That canine would also serve as a therapy dog for elementary and middle school students. Well, over $500 million of repairs are needed in our state parks. That, according to a report released yesterday by the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, it finds the state's 175 parks need about $760 million in repairs. Most of that money needed to fix visitor centers, restrooms, and other park facilities. Miami-Dade College is giving the public another shot to weigh in on the proposed Donald J. Trump Presidential Library. Their Board of Trustees is holding a special meeting later this morning at their Hialeah campus to offer what they're calling a second opportunity for community comments.
Hialeah at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's not accidental. They don't want people to show up. And because the result is a foregone conclusion, I can't encourage people to go up for that.
That's historian Marvin Dunn, and he says the first meeting back in September wasn't properly notified before the board voted to give the state officials the land next to Freedom Tower for the project. He says today's vote will not end his lawsuit. It's 7:34 here at News Radio, 92.3. FHP says they stepped up patrols on I-110 over the weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, that is, to catch drunk and reckless drivers. Troopers made 8 DUI arrests, 5 criminal arrests, and 3 super speeder arrests. They also issued 10 traffic citations. The enforcement detail targeted drivers speeding or driving aggressively during one of the year's busiest travel periods. FHP says their goal was to keep families safe as they traveled during the holidays. 7:35, John's got our traffic.
That's right. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest. Seeing about a 5-minute delay there. Highway 29 southbound, just south of Kingsfield, experienced about a 12-minute delay. And Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, expect a 9-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Clouds are going to clear out as you head through the rest of your morning. High near 59 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 39 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies. High near 57. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Rain chances will increase as you head into your Thursday. 70% chance of showers with a high near 58. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got cloudy skies, 58 degrees. Your next news at 8 o'clock. And breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu, the daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning, 7:38 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, normally we have Chip Simmons, the sheriff of Escambia County, but we now have his second in command. We actually have two co-equal seconds. Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter. Andy Hobbs is the other one. Tommy Leiter joins us now, former Pensacola police chief and a dear friend of mine who was in Leadership Pensacola 2016, best class ever. Tommy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been more than a minute.
I know. I always, you know, I'm going to engage in a personal moment here, but I just think of how Leadership Pensacola was so useful to me because so many of my closest friends and people who are in positions of incredible leadership now in the community, I met in that program, and you're one of them. I mean, you know, so many of them, and just it's amazing to me how, you know, my life changed because of that process. So.
Yeah, the value of that program, in my opinion, is just what you said, the relationships that you make.
Absolutely.
With all the people in the class. The training is phenomenal, but it's those relationships with, they do a great job picking the future leaders.
Right. If I had to, as a takeaway, either keep all of the things that I learned sort of intellectually, academically from the experience or the people that I met. Oh, the people. I mean, this is an easy choice.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Hey, I know it's not your agency, although you used to be the chief of police in Pensacola. But before we get into stuff that you guys have been dealing with, I did want to give you an opportunity if you wanted to talk about it. And you may not, and it's totally fine. But I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the body cam video. I'm sure you're aware of the story with Mike Kimbrell and Officer Roper at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. Is there anything about this that you wanted to comment on? Feel free, or feel free to totally decline. It's up to you.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned yesterday about waiting to see the whole story. And if you look at, they released the body cam in its entirety, and you compare that to what was released yesterday by, you know, one citizen, it was just a snippet of it. You get a whole different feel of what happened and how, you know, what Roper said to him, gave him an opportunity to leave. The reality of it is there is an ordinance that shuts the park down at dusk, you know, at nighttime, and gave him an opportunity to finish what they were doing. Hey, we'll come back and, you know, get a permit, explain to him how they can do it. So, but that's a different feel to that interaction compared to what was posted on the internet yesterday prior to the release of it. So, and I like the, you know, the compromise that Mayor Reeves did is you can, if you want to feed them, you can feed them in City Hall parking lot, feed them at the parking lot of the police department if you want to, but our parks are going to remain closed at dark. So,
and a willingness to maybe look at an ordinance change, but that's not something you do on the spur of the moment, clearly. And
right.
Yeah, you know, that's, one of the reasons, and you and I know we've talked about this before, but one of the reasons that I kind of hate being in the news business is we are so frequently, you know, tasked with reporting on something and giving a perspective on something before we know enough. And, you know, the facts may change. And, of course, that means the perspective is going to. And I hate reporting on breaking news where we've only seen one side. And that's why I specifically said yesterday, well, here's what I know so far. And even today, after having watched the video, I mean, my opinion of the encounter has changed. I talked about this a lot in the 6 o'clock hour. I just said, look, I think there are parts of this where, you know, Officer Roper, I think, could have done even better. But I didn't see him do anything wrong. I do think there are some things that Mike Kimbrell should have done better or should not have done. And if there's blame delay, I think it lies more on his side. But that's a very different take than, like you said, what you would get off of the first reporting, the first video, the first share, the, you know, all of that. So, and just wait for judgment, or at least if you've got to make a judgment, be willing to revise your judgment pending subsequent facts, which you guys deal with all the time in investigations, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's one of those, I guarantee you, that officer, when he got out of his car to have that conversation, he did not expect it to go the way that it did. But yeah, that's the nature of law enforcement. I thought he had every expectation is, hey, the park's closed. We'll let you finish it out, but you're going to have to do it earlier in the day or find another location. And I guarantee you he expected that to just comply. And unfortunately, in law enforcement, that's not what happens oftentimes when you get that pushback.
Yeah. And the sort of friendliness, professionalism, I think, was not expected probably by people who had seen the video and the first blush on it and the thousands of shares, you know, and then they're listening and they're like, oh, well, that's not, you know, that's not how I would have pictured this happening. Turning now to things that have been going on in the county. We had a accused double murderer, Edwin Hyde, that was from Alabama that you guys arrested. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. You know, if you're going to, it's a double homicide. It's tragic. Going to commit a crime in Pine Hill, Alabama, probably the last place you should run is Pensacola, because we have the resources and the manpower to hunt you down. And we did it pretty quickly. Actually, the sheriff of Wilcox County reached out to Sheriff Simmons personally and asked if hey, indication that they were headed our way, and asked if we would help. And we activated, of course, we worked closely with the U.S. Marshals, state attorney, you know, for search warrants, and then Pensacola Police Department. They're on the Marshals Task Force with us as well. And we were up overnight with them, and then into the next day, we were able to track him down on the Palafox and arrest him.
And he's going to be extradited back to there, or has been, whatever, for trial.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
very, very. Does this happen very often that you guys get requests from either out of county or out of state to look for somebody?
I wouldn't say it's often, but we do get the request, and we have the marshals headquartered right here in Pensacola and the task force, and what they can bring to bear as a federal agency is unmatched.
Yeah.
And then we throw the manpower at it, and the partnerships we have with Pensacola Police Department, and of course the state attorneys, they have investigators as well. It's everybody gets along. We're all cops at the end of the day, and you have a double homicide suspect, killed two teenagers, showing up in Pensacola, we're going to throw everything we can to hunt him down and take him into custody.
You know, that's one of the things that we always do a cop myth with Mike Wood on Thursday, and that's one of the things that he's said repeatedly over time is this perception that cops are always squabbling over their turf, their case, their territory, is just such a total myth out of the TV. You know, that it's always good to hear
that
you guys cooperate and collaborate and share, and that notion of, you know, marks on a board where I got five cases, it's just nonsense. It's just total nonsense.
Yeah, I run operations, so I'm over investigations, narcotics, uniform patrol, crime scene, all and evidence, and so I'm. Once a week, I'm on the phone with one of our federal partners, ATF, DEA, U.S. Marshals. Once a week, FBI, we're having a conversation about either an ongoing case or how we can help each other, and zero animosity. We go to lunch, try to keep that lunch dates up. You know, every couple months, I'll go to lunch with one of them just to keep the relationships going. So it's 100% different than what you're going to see on television. We do all get along.
I sometimes feel like if you watch it on TV and it's about cops, you know it's false. It just seems to be that's like if you went out of your way to make it fake. What's that? You can't watch them?
I cannot watch.
Oh yeah,
cop movies or cop shows. I just can't do it. You know, it's like I got friends in the military. They say they can't watch these shows about the military because they're just so far-fetched.
Right. We're talking to Tommy Leiter. He's the chief deputy of operations for Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Hang on for just a second, Tommy. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
If you're on Blue Angel Parkway, just north of Target, right there, where there's a wreck that is stopping traffic in that area, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Tommy Leiter. Tommy, we had a couple of incidents involving banks. One was a robbery this week, right?
We had a female walk in and to a bank up on 9 Mile Road, and she passed a note to the teller demanding $16,000 in cash. And she indicated that her child was being held hostage and that if she didn't get the money, that they were going to harm her child. So the teller, they were talking to her, and of course they hit the alarm as soon as she passed the note. So we actually got there. She was still at the bank, and we're able to take her into custody. And she not only, all indications are, she changed her story, then said that her husband and son were at the home being held hostage. And we, of course, traced all that down and found out that not only does she not have a husband, but doesn't look like she even has a son. She lives by herself. So the whole story fell apart, but she was taken into custody without incident at the bank. It is unusual. I don't usually have females committing bank robberies.
Yeah, that's what I thought when that's I saw this story. That's rare, right?
It is. Yeah, it's usually the men. And, you know, it's, I think the tellers and the bank employees did an exceptional job just being able to engage her in conversation. Don't fight back, get the money, and then, you know, push the alarm. And we were fortunate to be close to it. And, you know, you get a bank robbery alarm, an actual bank robbery alarm going out, and we know that it's going to be good. You're going to get a pretty big response from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And we were there quickly.
One part of that story I just didn't understand is I thought that it said that she gave the woman the money and then took the money back or took the bag back. Do you know anything about that?
During that conversation, she handed her the bag of money. And then during the conversation, you know, about she was crying about her son being held hostage and stuff, the teller was able to get to grab the money, just kind of slide it back towards her. It wasn't a fight over the money, but she was distracted enough that she just kind of, you know, pulled it back over towards her. And I'm assuming waiting until we could get there. And,
gotcha.
And so it worked.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So delay tactic of sorts. Okay. I got
delay
you.
Delay tactic. That's what it seems like it was. Yeah.
We also had a Brinks truck.
Another interesting.
Yeah. Brinks truck got, what happened here?
You know, this was an employee at the armored car service is delivering. He delivers money. And as you can imagine, everything is tracked. So in the morning, they put the money in the armored car and they scan it. So you know exactly what's going in each vehicle. Well, one of the employees made a mistake and accidentally scanned five bags of money into his truck. He was only supposed to go to four stops. It was still scanned. It was still in his truck. But when the employee got in there, he realized, I've got an extra bag of money. And I don't know what he was thinking. Certainly he was thinking that that they didn't track it and they had no idea where it was. So he took the money.
Oh, no.
That day or the next day, he quit by text message and said, I quit. And, oh, by the way, I threw my uniform over the fence there at Brink, so you can just go in out in the yard and grab them. And, you know, it doesn't take long for them to realize, hey, we're missing a bag of money. We sanded into this truck. Everything is all on video. Yeah, I'm on video, so it didn't take us long to track him down. And we got him. We got the money still had wrapped in the, you know, the armored car logo on and on the money. He had some receipts from he went over to Biloxi, it looks like, and he had some receipts from some of the casinos on him. And that's it's I just shake my head sometimes. Thank goodness for stupid people, because it was about the worst theft or robbery that you could think of.
I'm really restraining myself from laughing because I know David is going to want to play these clips later. you scanned it in. You know there's tracking. Yeah. You literally know. Yeah. So yeah. I think the weird takeaway for me is, how did somebody that's, let's just say, that unsophisticated get the job in the first place?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just shaking my head. You can't see me, but I'm like... I read it, and I was like, this can't be right. So I talked to the investigators, and I said, oh, yeah, yeah. He just saw the extra bag, realized, or thought, I guess, that they wouldn't know where it was. Or
must be free money for me.
And decided to take it. Mm, yeah, okay. And there's no suspicion at all. He's just going to send a text message. Hey, by the way, I quit, and I threw my uniforms over the fence.
Yeah, behaved in a completely normal way, you know, the way people do when they're not guilty of anything at all. we did have a sad incident take place recently. You had a canine pass away. Tell me about him.
Yeah, canine Gassman. It's sad. You know, these handlers are, I was a canine handler, and it's like having a 2-year-old child with you all the time. I spent more time with my canine than I did my family, because I'm at work with the dog and training with the dog and then home with the dog. And it's sad. He had a medical issue, and we're not exactly sure yet what it was. It looked like he had an infection. How he got the infection, we're not sure. And his lungs started to fill up with fluid. Got him to the vet. They tried to, you know, everything they could to save him, and unfortunately, he passed away. So there's our deputy, Matt Watkins. That was his, I think he's had 4 dogs in almost 20 years in a canine unit. But it is very sad.
You get very attached to them. In fact, it's very normal for them after they leave service to go live with their handler, right? That's very common.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they retire and live the good life with the original handler. So that's – and, he's married himself, so it's not just him that experiences the loss. It's his family as well. Yeah. So,
you mentioned something. He was named – Gassman was a former deputy, right? When the sheriff's office, I remember a couple of years ago, started the protocol where – the dogs now get named in honor of former deputies. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Sheriff Simmons wanted to honor those, keep their names alive and honor those deputies that gave their lives. And Gassman died in, I know it was the 60s. I think it was 1966. He was trying to make an arrest and was stabbed to death. So they named him after Gassman. I'm not sure what we'll do with the next dog. If we'll reuse that name or not, that's something that we'll discuss internally.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a good conversation to have. It actually, since we're talking about dogs and since you were a candidate, the Gulf Breeze Police Department has talked about, having a dog commissioned that would help them sniff guns at the school, but also be kind of a companion. And when I first heard this story, I was thinking, is that going to be like a Shepherd or a Malinois? Because those are your patrol dogs. But you and I were talking about this off the air, and maybe just do a second of explaining what different kinds of dogs are bred or trained for these different roles, because it's interesting.
Usually a patrol dog, what they call them, dual trained, are your Shepherds or your Malinois. And those are the ones that will track a bad guy. They'll do the building searches and apprehensions, and then they'll also do narcotic searches. And they're level-headed. That's why we use Shepherds and Malinois. You can, Sir was my dog. I could take him out of an apprehension in a building search, and an hour later I'm standing in front of those children, and that level-headed. With just straight narcotics dogs, or like in this case a bomb dog, generally bomb dogs aren't the Malinois, because you don't want a high-strung dog that drive. You want the real low-key, where they're going to sit And the same thing, if this is, he's using it for gun detection or bullets, that kind of stuff, then I would suspect it wouldn't be a dual trained dog. It'll be a shepherd, not a shepherd. It may be a, well, any number of dogs.
Like a lab or something, or a retriever even?
Lab. I don't know why I drew a lab or retriever or something like that. Correct.
Okay, so it can be companions and...
interacting with kids all day.
Yeah.
There'll be wagging tails and a little lower drive. Not low drive, but just a little bit lower drive. Not as high strung as some of the shepherds.
Gotcha.
And that would be perfect if you're going to interact with kids and all day long. They're perfect dogs for that.
You guys actually have an event coming up at Petland, right?
We do. We have, let me see the date on that. It's coming up quickly, and that's going to be Friday, actually, this Friday on the 5th, at Petland up there on Davis Highway. They donate money to the canine, our canine program, and we'll be up there. A number of deputies will be up there. The canine unit will be up there. They do a canine demo in the middle of the, there in Petland.
Oh, nice.
We've done it. This will be the third year, and it's very well received and public. So I'd encourage you to go on up there.
And so that's to raise money for the purchase of new canines. Is that what that's for?
Well, no, they give the toys and that stuff to the canine unit.
Oh,
so
okay. Gotcha.
And the food, they do dog food and that kind of stuff for them. So
gotcha.
Offsets the cost of just maintaining them.
Very good.
And we have a movie night as well coming up, the parade up in, Century, mm-hmm. Anthony Pleasant Park. It starts with a parade, and then we are going to watch The Grinch, the movie. That's with our big movie screen. That's something Sheriff Simmons started when he first got elected, was this movie night where we can actually take it out to the communities, and we feed everybody, have the food truck out there, and watch a movie, and it is very well received, very well attended. Some of these are. Start off a little slow, and now it's just
it's really, really popular. Yeah,
oftentimes it's like, hey, we want a movie night in our park, and we're out at Navy Point last week a couple weeks ago, and it was very well attended.
Well, Tommy Leiter, he is the Chief Deputy Over Operations for the Scambia County Sheriff's Office. And were it not for Thanksgiving, we would both have to say that we're still a little bit full from Egg Fest, a wonderful event that your wife oversees. She did such a great job this year.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful woman. Yep.
Yeah, no, she's great. But, Tommy, thank you so much for the time sitting in for Chip Simmons this morning. I really appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir.
All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a seven-minute delay. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, expect a 15-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts, with Verus Health Partners. Today, at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement. Or, if you're looking for options now, they'll be taking your calls and questions. Today, at 10 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
So you're a cop, right?
That's right.
Well, I should probably tell you that I'm taking the bus because I have my driver's license revoked.
What for?
Speeding.
What good for you? I can't. guess you moved on really easily.
Oh, man. 7:59. That's a long time since I've watched that movie.
Oh, a long time, man.
7:59 on News Radio 92.3. Dennis Hopper kind of made that movie, too. Speed, by the way, if you're not familiar. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The second National Guard member that was shot near the White House last week is making some progress in his recovery. West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrisey says Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf is now out of that medically induced coma that he was in. The suspect in that shooting is also still in the hospital after he was shot during the incident. He faces a first-degree murder and other charges for the death of Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom.
Yeah, we're certainly hoping and praying for his recovery, speedy recovery, because, you know, man, the last thing we want is another lost guardsman. That would be terrible. David, thank you so much for the update. We'll be back in just a minute.